Okay, any further comments on the class angle? Dean, you want to make any comments on...
Well, I have some comments. It's on elimination of forces, but it's on if they're, for last time now, I don't totally know if it's covered or not. But a lot of times a trainer will put a horse in race one as a tightener, get the horse ready for a better race to see if he can go the distance because of distance change, like a router, a sprinter, back and forth. And a lot of times I've noticed that they put him in there to see if he's within that class or not.
How do you tell, though? Is there some way you can determine whether that's a tightener or a realistic effort?
Well, I usually look at what they've done in the past, and if you honestly go by the amounts of money to the races they've been in, and you actually watch their pace line, if they're out of class, you can definitely see it, because they'll never come within 8 or 9 lengths of a win. So, and a lot of times, I found that a horse will be claimed, and the trainer will just throw him in the race to see what's wrong with him.
Okay, and in conjunction with that, let me reduce it to a little more specific thing. You will find that if you do a portion of the manual referred to as pace of the race, pace of the horse, you will look at the pace of the race that the horse did well against and the pace that he did not do well against. Look to see how he ran against a given opening speed in feet per second velocity or a good closing. If he never does well against a 60 feet per second opening fraction, then that horse is not going to do well against that fast and early fraction. So you're looking to find him in a race with a lower early fraction. Contrarywise, if he's an early speed horse but never seems to win, look to see what kind of a closing fraction he always fails against. And then see if he's placed today in a race where the closing fraction is within the parameters of his ability. You can tell more from looking at the pace of the race, pace of the horse program, about where a horse is properly paced than you can by thinking in terms of trainer maneuvers. And I don't want to say anything negative about trainers, but I have several trainers who are clients. And this is why I cringe whenever I hear people talking about trainers as knowing precisely what they're doing at all times. A, most of them have to enter horses into races that they might not otherwise be able to enter into because they have to pay the feed bill. According to the records that I have from trainers themselves, and I'm not making this comment negatively about them, this is their own comment, 80% of the trainers are so concerned with medication, bandages, and cleaning up after the horses that they have no time for strategy. Only about 20% of your trainers are truly strategists. So don't put too much credence in the brilliance of the word trainer just because they have trainers. You can tell as much about a horse as they can. In fact, we have several trainers who are using the pace of the race, pace of the horse program to determine where to put their horses, where to place them. If they're using it to know where to place them, you can use it to know where they're properly placed. So that's an important program. Anybody, did you find that when you started using that program, Bob?
One of them. Keys to my success with this method is the pace of the horse, pace of the race program. We've used other factors, and several different things, but I've never given up the use of the pace of the race, pace of the horse program. I always print it out every day. I think it's a very strong indicator of where that horse belongs, how he can run against a given pace. And I wouldn't think of going to the track to wager my money without having that run that program that day.
Okay, the next thing that Ron brought up that is very simple. And his point was that public handicappers may not one by one be very good pickers, but it's folly to ignore them and not consider their. You want to elaborate on that?
Well, yeah, that's what I use as my jumping off point, I guess, in order to sort of get the horses in the race in the top half, bottom half, or whatever. I take the consensus picks and I look at the odds in the racing form, and I will take the top 5 or 6 horses and I will do a pace line on those horses. I haven't eliminated the others at this point, but once I've done the first say, four or five horses, top horses, then I have a good guideline to compare the other horses with. And unless I find something very unusual about those other horses, such as a good internal fraction or much higher in class or whatever, then I usually have I've eliminated them.
Well, these guys are being paid good money to be public handicappers. Let them work for us. We won't use their selections, but we sure won't overlook one of their selections. Nothing more embarrassing than to have your handicapping sheet, be at the track, make your bets, and see the winner come in. You didn't have him, and he was the favorite, and he was number one in the consensus. So maybe you wouldn't have chosen him, but there's no excuse for not at least having figured it. I don't expect everybody to buy one of those television recording systems where you can, if you have a closed circuit channel or a public television channel or a UHF channel that broadcasts the races. But Bob has that, and Bob has noticed something he has a little mechanism by which he can stop the race at any point. Where do you stop the race, Bob?
At the second call.
And why do you, why at the second call?
I want to see who's in contention there, because 90% of the time one of them is going to come right out of that group.
Okay. Now, this is in essence how I determine what horses not to include. The first thing I do is use that section at the back of the manual which tells you how to read the previous day's result charts and determine the bias of a track. If you're at a track where the top four velocity ratings at the second call are winning every race, then it would be folly for you to choose horses other than those whose velocity ratings made them capable of being in the echelon of the top four. Because consistently, day in and day out at that particular track, that group wins. Contrarywise, you might find at your track that horses that are 2.5 lengths off at the second call are the winners, and then those who are leading at the second call never hang on. Always include the horses that fit the category at the second call that your track is biased toward, be it early or a little bit off the pace. I just go down to the second call and just do the raw fraction. Just, it's 42, 44-4, or 45-2, or 46, whatever it is. If they have to be a little bit off the pace, I'll take who are just correctly off the pace. If they have to be on the pace, I'll take the top four or five that are on the pace and eliminate the others. What matters is that the horse can close faster than any horse if the closers aren't winning at that track? Or what matters it at a closing track if a horse has the fastest velocity of the second call? If it's New Orleans, they're going to say goodbye to him around the stretch turn. So make sure you understand your track. If you know your track, you can eliminate the horses on their pace capabilities alone.
It's a good idea to track that daily, because I have a worksheet that I keep every day, and that way you're able to tell the turn of the racetrack on a moment's notice. Because Hollywood Park in the summer meet of 1983 changed three or four times in different directions, and I was on top of it every time. And the minute it changed, the prices would go up.
And people who live in parts of the country where they're blessed, and I say blessed in seriousness, with inclement weather more often than we have it, have greater price opportunities because they can spot these things and be zagging when everybody else is zigging. Generally speaking, the track will run two ways. Either the early speed will hang on and win, or the closing speed will win. Very seldom will a horse have extremes in either direction. If the par time for the second call is 45, let's say, a horse that runs it in 44-3 will merely cause the sustained horse to win because he's running it too fast. By the same token, a horse that closes too fast is not going to win, because you cannot be that far off the pace. Even at the most sustained pace track, New Orleans, horses should be within five lengths statistically in order to win. So remember, you don't want extremes of early or extremes of sustained. Find out and make yourself a par feet per second time for the second call. That's the all-important call. Not meaning that they have to be in the lead at the second call. It's where they are at your track that succeeds is par for the second call. Any more comments on that? Your statement
you said it all.
that you stop your Betamax or whatever it is you have at the second call is the point in the race that determines the outcome of the race. Well, we covered the subject of inclusion, what horses to include, and by inference, those that you do not include are the ones that are eliminated until you get it down to five or the most six horses. You'll find when you do get it down to five or six, your win percentage will go up tremendously because you're no longer including some of the butterfly antics of the other horses in comparison with the solid contenders. Okay, it's a well-known fact that if you pick the right pace line, and I say right advisedly, I should say correct pace line, because there is no right or wrong pace line. There is no truly correct or incorrect pace line. There is the pace line that produces the winner. Ironically, five of us can go to Las Vegas and pick different pace lines and all have the same win percentage. One will win one race and one will win another. So difference of opinion does not prevent you from winning a high percentage of your races, although you won't win the same races as the next person with a difference of opinion on the pace line. But there are parameters. There are single things to look for in picking a correct pace line, which means a pace line that will correctly predict the outcome of the race. So, Ron, what is the most important thing you look for in a pace line pick selection?
It's probably more subjective, I guess. Well, not really, but the horse has to fit the race, in my opinion. That I have to feel that the horse belongs in that race and he's capable of winning the race. And so I'm talking about class, distance, service, fractions and so forth, and speeds. I guess that basically sums it.
Ron has gone back to the terms that we started off this discussion with, a subjective feeling, a feeling you get in the back of your neck that it fits. And people will say, well, hey, but I can't understand what he means by fit. Do you understand why your pants fit and why they don't? Try on a pair of pants that you don't feel fit. You'll know they don't feel fit. It's the same way. You'll know it when it's right. By the same token, if you're a little bit confused now, you know when it's wrong. Ron is saying that you, when you have it down, you'll know it, and your subconscious will tell you you're right. That's when to make your bet. Bob?
Well, I'd like to go to the other end of this set. You all, I'm sure, give pretty good advice on the best way to approach a pace line. I have a statement about it. Once you're all done, you're going out to the track. I don't know how many people go with others and get to the track and then have their ears open to all kinds of influences from other people. Stick with your own decision. You spend all this time selecting your pace lines, doing all the work. Don't let somebody else talk you off your work. Follow through with what your mind told you to do in the first place. And just follow your own lead and be successful.
Bravo. Tom?
Well, I'm not going to address the pace line itself necessarily, but I think my record keeping is the most valuable tool I've got.
I'm delighted you brought it up.
Because the for a little stretch here in the current Santa Anita meeting, in a sprint, you had to have the best last fraction, literally. Now, the pace line was crucial to choose that. But when you began to select the bet from the pace lines, you almost had to include the horse with the best last fraction. The same thing held true, I mentioned Hollywood a few minutes ago. At the end of the Hollywood meeting in the summer, our X factor, you know, the first and third fractions divided by two, became an all-time winner in the in sprints. Not just the top two, the top one was winning almost every sprint that was run. That's a moneymaker if you're tracking that in your own records.
Very good point. People say, why do you have so many readouts? Why do you have so many factors you consider? It's because one of those factors, or one in combination with one other, will win at a given time at a given track, and you have all those, and as Tom says, keep a record of what's winning, and one of those factors will be outstanding and will produce winners. Larry?
Well, what I do is look at the last four or five races, and you can determine its class level, you know, a competence. You do the same thing. anomaly, the figure spots level and see if it fits like Ron's edge into that race.
If you can't tell where it fits, the best tool is, as Larry said, to determine whether it fits is to use the pace of the horse, pace of the race that we used on Campolianos in the manual. So if there's any question in your mind where it fits or whether it fits, read that section again. Dean, you got any comments on some one salient factor which you think is the most important?
Well, since I've just been doing this, just 2 days since I got my program in the mail, but I'm very, very pleased with the way that, with the pace of the race, the pace of the horse, how you can go back and run the prior 10 races, and you can see the class, you can see if he's in or out of class, you can see if he's going in or out of form, and it's very important to run it. I'm crazy about running. I run every horse.
Well, that has proven to be, and Dean is relatively new, but Dean has been very successful in using these computer programs, and he sensed that right away, and I thought bringing in someone who is new with us would show you that it does not take a long time to grasp this if you use all the tools that are provided. Now, we don't expect you to do a profile of every horse in every race as a consistent thing. What we're suggesting to you now is that you do it a few times. After you've seen a few pace profiles using pace of the horse, pace of the race, then you will get that feeling that Ron gets of knowing innately, subconsciously, when the horse does or does not fit. Al, your ultimate suggestion?
Well, I have to concur and agree with everybody's comments. I'm looking for pace lines of horses that will tell me where they fit in terms of current class, current condition, distance preference, surface preference. And if I can gain that knowledge from doing pace lines on all the contenders, then I feel I've got a real handle on the race and that I'm going to come up with a winner most of the time. On the other hand, if I've got that nagging doubt that says I don't really have a line on all the horses in this race, that there are mystery horses or horses that shouldn't be here, and I can't answer the question why they're here, and I got a mixed bag of horses, I'm going to pass the race. There's another race coming right up, and I'm going to win that one. I don't have to win the mystery race.
One good answer to two different questions. When in doubt, read the manual, and when in doubt about the race, pass. Frank?
Well, I agree with Al. I don't know what ameliorated means either.
That's something that psychologists and psychiatrists do to the patients because they can't cure them. They ameliorate them. Outside of that, what are your final comments on?
Well, I really don't. I think everything has been pretty adequately covered. I agree with Ron and his feeling. I too have developed that, and when Bob mentioned about distractions, there's no way that you're going to be able to be consistent or establish a consistent percentage if you're not going to go with your own intuition. If you're going to allow other things to distract you, you're pretty much beat before you go to the races.
Stay home.
My final comment is know your track. If you know the characteristics of your track, then you can always win at your track. If you know what readouts are winning under given circumstances at your track, you will always win. Here's what I know about Santa Anita, for instance, and you can say this about Fairmont Park or Hialeah or whatever track you play. I know that when it's dry, it runs fast early. I know that when it first rains, it runs very fast early. Then when it starts drying out, it runs sustained. Now, you say that's not very much knowledge to have about a track, but it's enough to have about that track so that I'll know when to play sustained and when to play early, and that's the top secret of winning at that track. Know those few things about your own track, and you'll be a consistent winner because you'll know what wins at your track. And don't listen to anybody who says they have a universal method that'll give you a single number that'll win at any track. This is a fraudulent concept. Anybody who perpetrates it is perpetrating a fraud. Each individual track must be studied by the person who expects to beat it. don't expect to win unless you put in the effort to know the game that you're playing and know the rules by which it's played and know what is victory. If you don't know the 21-20 score in a football game goes to the team that got the 21 over the one that got the 20, then you don't understand who wins a football game. It's the same in racing. Know the rules of the game. When I say rules, I'm not talking about handicapping rules. I'm talking about the rules of horse racing. Know how to read the form. Know what governs winning times, winning fractions, winning class. And above all, know your track. One slight addendum here before we close. We've been told that what we've been doing since 1975 is in essence what is currently called trip handicapping, in that we are analyzing the trip taken by each individual contender from the starting gate to the wire. Now, you can sometimes determine why a last race was bad and go back to a second or third race in this manner. Let us say a speed horse had the rail position. Look at what the horse next to him did if your speed horse failed to function with his normal getting out of the gate fast procedure. Was he blocked? If he had a very slow first fraction when he traditionally has a fast one, then look to see what his second fraction was. After he was probably blocked or had a bad release from the gate, he gained ground, not enough perhaps to win the race or even to place or show, but demonstrating still that he was in condition and that the reason he did not get his usual early start was because he was blocked. So look at what the horse in the position next to him did, and it might solve that problem. Also, if the horse was on the extreme outside, and he's normally a fast-breaking horse, see if that might have impeded his progress. If every time he's on the outside, he doesn't move fast from the gate, that's a clue that the last race was not a total bummer, but was caused by what happened during the trip. Look at that second fraction. If the horse loses ground at the beginning but starts making it up in the second fraction, you know he's still in condition, so you can safely go back to a better race. Also, let me point out something else very important. We win about the same percentage of races whether the horse is going off at even odds or under, or if he's going off at 20-1. The odds on the board do not determine the relative value of that horse's chance to win a race. We have our own method of determining odds, which has been supplied to us by programmer and client and PERCO member Dean Daly, which will soon be ready. Our viable factors are entered into a mathematical formula which predicts the odds at which that horse should be going off. Consequently, in using this program, we many times see a horse that should be 2-1 going off at 12 or even 20-1, we know we have a terrific, terrific bet. This program is now under preparation.